Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to today's call. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Dato' Sri Jamaludin. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is Jamal. I'm the Group CEO of Axiata. Welcome to our short announcement on our acquisition in Cambodia. I guess all of you perhaps have gotten the slides, and before that, the Bursa announcement that was sent out during the launch period. We got a couple of slides to be presented. I will present the first few slides, followed by our CEO, Simon Perkins, in Cambodia. Simon will be talking about a couple of slides, and followed by James, our Group CFO. Let's turn to quickly slide two, kind of a summary of the transaction itself. Basically, what we're saying is that we are merging Hello and Smart. Letelsia is interchangeable with Smart. Smart is the name of the brand, and Letelsia of the company. I apologize, sometimes we get too interchangeable and mixed up a bit. But basically, that's the combination of both. And that will bring us, meaning Hello, from number four to a market leadership position. From a subscriber perspective, it's number two, but from revenue, we do not know because none of them have disclosed, but we reckon we are number two or number three. Essentially, legally, our 100% owned subsidiary will acquire Glasswool Holdings Limited from Timesense Holdings. Timesense was and is the sole owner of Letelsia upon completion. Subsequently, we will merge the two operations together, subject to, of course, regulatory approvals, which we hope will be completed within a couple of months, by first quarter. The acquisition will be to be settled to Timesense, the current owner of Letelsia, via a cash consideration of approximately 155 million. When you say approximate, because it's still subject to the level of net debt and working capital at the date of completion, plus a 10% stake in a combined entity. That 10% stake will be held by the remaining partner. So I guess effectively we will own 90% stake of the combined entity from the day of completion. Slide number three talks about the slide three and four talks about the rationale behind the transaction. The first point, they are all quite interrelated rationale, however. The first point regards to the market itself. Obviously, the market is not huge compared to some of the countries, but it's medium size. It's still growing, which is good. The economy is still growing at the same time. The last few years have been growing, subscriber growth has been growing quite rapidly. We do expect that in the next few years to be growing in the low teens. So, still quite a good growth. Today, the unique SIM penetration is estimated to be under 40%. The second reason, apart from the fact that the market is good, is the fact that by doing this, we will establish a strong market leadership position in Cambodia. Like I said earlier, we are now number four. With this, we will be number two, at least in terms of subscriber market share. The slide on the top right-hand side of slide three will show that these are the nine players that are in the market, which is a very crowded market actually. But if you combine Smart and Hello, the green is Smart, 21%, Hello, 13%, arithmetically you will arrive at 34% combined subscriber market share. However, upon cleaning up and duplication and all that, we do expect it to go down to the tune to roughly around 25% plus minus, but still will be higher than Smart, easily higher than Smart, higher than Mobitel. The third reason for our proposed transaction is the benefit. In fact, it's one of the biggest reasons why we do that. It's because there's a lot of duplication in network sales, marketing, human resources, and so many of the things that could be reduced significantly upon consolidation between the two companies. Obviously, we are also having looked at the management team. We are very impressed with the management team of Smart. You have done a pretty good job over the last few years. The fourth reason is consolidation. As I said earlier, there's a very crowded market of 9 players, and we think the timing is right for the market to consolidate. In a way, we have hinted to this for the last 2 years. Unfortunately, it happened only now that we are interested to consolidate the market. And I guess the time has turned out to be the right time for us to make it happen now. So we do foresee that the so-called 9-player market to evolve to 3 and maybe 5, but more likely between 3 or 4 players in the medium term. We hope that what we are doing will spur more consolidation in the industry to make it a very healthy industry. As you know, the industry today is not very healthy because there are too many players going after the same thing, but we believe that upon consolidation, this market could be fairly healthy. And the fifth reason why we believe in the transaction, it is very much in line with our long-term strategy and financial objectives. You will see later on in more details that it will meet our financial criteria and will also, again, reinforce our financial discipline in this matter. Much more importantly is that the combination will make us EPS accretive at a group level from year one onwards, which is essentially towards the end of 2013 or early 2014. Right. Those are the five interrelated reasons why we believe in the transaction, why it's a good reason why we should merge. I will pass to Simon Perkins. By the way, all the five reasons will be elaborated further by Simon and James. So to start off with, I will pass to Simon Perkins, the current CEO of Hello, to give you some to present some slides on the rationale behind the merger. Simon?
Yes, thank you, Dato Sri. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for the opportunity to present some slides. I'm going to refer to slide number 5 now, just a little bit about Cambodia itself. As Dato Sri has said, it's still an interesting market, albeit quite small. The population of Cambodia, approximately 15 million people. Still a very rapidly growing economy here. The bar chart on the bottom left shows you the GDP growth over recent years, with just a hiccup in 2009 on the back of the global financial crisis. But other than that, an economy that's been growing 6 to 7% per year consistently. GDP per capita is still in line with this Indochina region on a PPP basis at nearly 2,400 per head. So yes, it is slightly behind Laos and Vietnam, but it is a higher GDP per capita than Bangladesh or Nepal. A stable political environment here, I'm sure as everybody knows, quite a strong government position here. Inflation is under control. The currency here is pegged to the US dollar. In fact, the US dollar is widely used as the de facto currency. And so we do believe that the market fundamentals, the environment, is a good one for us to operate in. If I now refer you to the next slide, slide number 6. And again, Dato Sri has already talked about this. Very rapid growth in subscriber numbers over recent years, largely driven by the entry of a number of new operators. At its peak, there were 9 operators in Cambodia, which is clearly not sustainable in a 15 million population market. That recently came down to 8 by the merger of Smart and Starcell. They were the first to consolidate, but even at 8, it's still a very overcrowded market. And Axiata has been working on a consolidation strategy for a number of years now, and we're very pleased to see this come to fruition today. The penetration rate can sometimes be confusing here. There's a large number of SIMs in the market, but indeed this is a very strong multi-SIM environment. So on average, unique subscribers have between 2.5 and 3 SIMs per person. So the unique subscriber penetration is still under 40%, even though the number of SIMs in the market is much higher. ARPU is reasonably buoyant at about $3.5 per month, so a little bit better than some of the markets nearby, Pakistan, India, Sri Lanka. So still in still a reasonable environment for us to operate. So you just on the demographics here, 50% of the population are under 30 years of age, so it's a very young population, and with a growing appetite for telecommunication services, particularly data. If I refer you now to slide number 7, Hello and Smart have been the market champions over the last 2 years. We can say that very honestly. We've both grown. We both have more than doubled our customer base in the last 2 years, and we've both led the market in terms of aggressive tariffs and promotions, which have driven that growth. So that has helped us in our decision making about which are the right operators to consolidate. As you can see, some of the other operators have suffered subscriber declines quite significantly over that 2 years. So really that last 2 years has told us who are the strong players, who are the ones that, that we see as being attractive to for consolidation. Latel's Smart, a very strong network and sales reach, allowed them to grow very well, also invested quite heavily in terms of coverage and capacity. So the combination of the two, as Datashri has said, clearly puts us in a very strong number two position in terms of subscribers and arguably number two position in terms of revenue market share. Just referring you to slide number 8 now. This is a little bit repetitive of the slide you saw earlier in terms of the basic rationale. We're combining a 21% subscriber market share operation with 13% market share operation, give us combined 34%. After we eliminate the dual SIMs that will exist between those two, it will still be 25%, as Dato said, or thereabouts, which is a very strong number two position, and it allows us to clearly go after that number one position from a combined position of significant strength. So really those are the main points I wanted to bring out for you on the overall environment in Cambodia and a little bit about the market. So thank you very much. I'll hand back over to James. I think he's going to take us through the next slides.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you. We'll be doing Q&A at the end of the session as we normally do. So I'll just talk a little bit about the headline financials and the synergies on this deal. Slide 9 just shows the key operating metrics. This is obviously pre-synergy. It's based on the merger, the structure that we've got with a debt rollover from Hello as well. We've got roughly $62 million of debt in Hello. So subs combined total based on H1 this year, 2012, you can see 5.6. MOUs is would be up, still up on the previous year at 387. ARPU not too bad for this market at $3.7, and the number of BTSs for the combined entity would be up there at nearly 1,400. Obviously, there is rationalization of sites to be done, so this number is likely to head southwards somewhat as we take out parallel passive and indeed active capacity. Financial metrics, just the very high level numbers for the combined entity. You can see for H1 there are $45 million, both businesses growing, so that number is likely to be more than double that for the full year, obviously. EBITDA 7.3. You know, we'd like to make the comment that in the acquiring entity or in the merged entity, Lattelle's has been showing strong EBITDA accretion over the last few quarters. So it's not a steady state business. It's been acquiring market share fairly rapidly. And you know, we would expect with the merge entity for that trajectory to continue. So that number is likely to grow, you know, reasonably substantially over the next few quarters. CapEx, 11.8 million for H1 combined. What I'd say about that is that Smart Lattelle's have been investing probably a bit more aggressively in the last 18 months compared to the competition. On a like-for-like basis, as a factor of their size, and that's why the CapEx is up considerably on the Hello standalone number, which I've given to you in previous conference calls. And then PAT still negative, obviously reflecting the fact that it's not a steady state business yet, but we would aim to turn it into one very quickly. Over the page, slide 10, just a few comments on likely synergies. This is a win-win merger in our view. As Dato said, we've alluded to this kind of deal on many occasions, both in our sort of one-on-one meetings with shareholders and on analyst calls and so on. So finally, we managed to get one done. Highly accretive, in market, gives us, a good jumping off point for taking a leadership position in the market. So obviously, as you would expect, we would, drive for strong synergies around, the distribution sales. We're acquiring what we would describe as a high impact brand. I think the Smart brand has done very well. It's quite well associated with the newly emerging data market in Cambodia. So they've got an excellent 3G offering, which seems to be very popular. They've got the highest Facebook membership. There's a number of criteria that I think stand Smart out. They've also got good license conditions, in fact superior to Hello. Got 25 years, as you can see on the chart, 15 megahertz of 1800 and 3.6 at 900, and then for 3G 10 at 2.1, and they've got an ISP license as well. They've got 350 employees. And it's quite a lean operation. I think the management of the team has done pretty well, led by Thomas, who's a German national. Very good. Over the page, just got a few bullets on synergies. These are the sorts of things that you would expect. Service point costs, so that's about dealer relationship, point of service. Obviously, there'll be a degree of overlap, so the rationalization of those would make perfect sense. Employee-related costs, clearly subscriber acquisition costs in terms of, using the good work that both Smart and Hello have done over the last year and a half. They both benchmark quite well against each other from an FCC perspective. I think Smart, spends a bit more on marketing. I think their approach has been pretty interesting. Some synergies there. Obviously, network is one of the bigger, areas where we can rationalize costs, synergize both, as I said earlier, passive and active components of the network. So there's a lot to go after there. At the bottom you can see we've put in something for admin type costs, management fees, rentals, admin and so on. And then we've got on the other side of the equation a few one-off integration costs, but I think we're likely to keep them to a minimum. Over the page, from our perspective, we've taken this market to the start of its logical conclusion, we believe, with this deal. From the starting point, 2010, to where we are now, I think that you can see that this is not a very sustainable market for the bottom three or four players. This is becoming basically a three-horse race in our view. And obviously, it is looking much more interesting, having three bigger players in this market rather than a multitude of smaller players. So we're quite excited about the opportunity. Over the page, slide 13, just a little bit of commentary on how this fits in with our long-term strategy and financial objectives. Obviously, as we've alluded on many occasions, we're extremely committed to our existing core markets. We recognize that in some of our core markets, there's further work to be done. I think Cambodia is one of those markets which has not really hit the IR, the investor radar screen because of its size, but also because it was work in progress. It was very much a market where we had a long-term goal and an end-to-end strategy, and I think that this point marks a very important step in the execution of that strategy. Clearly we're aiming to do this as best we can in other markets, subject to all the usual internal criteria that we have. I'd say that, our IRR gating benchmarks are pretty tough. We've got, pretty strong governance led by the ASEAN board. And more often than not, we have deals rejected by the board. So, this has gone through a pretty stringent process of financial and operational exactness and review. But for this deal, we ourselves, the board, we're of a single mind. This is a tremendous deal, highly rational, and in-market consolidation, I think, makes perfect sense in the way that we've described. Just very quickly, this is EPS accretive, we believe. We will end up with controlling the enlarged entity, and we're acquiring a very good competitor and a good management team at a reasonable valuation. Over the page, slide 14, this is just putting, a little bit more detail against those words. 2013 EPS accretive, group debt EBITDA is not affected. Gross debt to EBITDA is a wee typo there. IRR is way above WACC, for the sort of WACC that you would expect for Cambodia. We're in line, if not exceeding, I believe, our internal quite tough targets. The ROIC impact initially in 2013 is marginally negative for the reasons that I gave earlier, in the sense that this is not a steady state business. It's going to be synergized, it's going to grow, there's going to be some upfront costs associated with integration. So ROIC will grow over time. So we believe it to be positive from a ROIC perspective subsequent to 2013. And then the impact of the Asiata Group, positive both from a revenue and EBITDA, but clearly not hugely material. A few percentage points of addition, incremental numbers on both counts. In terms of our ability to pay dividends and so on, really no impact, or perhaps marginally positive. And CapEx, not a material impact. So in conclusion, slide 15, we've got, I think, fantastic deal, which I think is in line with all of our stakeholders' objectives, we believe. Cambodia is an attractive market. It's got a telecoms market which is becoming healthier and is set in our view to look to become very healthy over time. We are establishing a strong leadership position, which can only be good for all the obvious reasons. You know, we can drive the scale benefits, and the synergies are very tangible, and we should see them come through over the next 12 months. You know, this is a situation where Asiata is actually improving the overall market fundamentals by leading in market consolidation process, which is very much one of our aims. This is in line with the Asiata strategy and objectives longer term, and you know, the Cambodia strategy over the past 3 years has proven to be effective, and we're executing on that now. So overall, you know, we believe it's an excellent deal. I think we'll now take Q&A. Just our end. Thank you very much.
Thanks, James. Let's open up for questions and answers.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel the request, please press the pound key. The first question comes from the line of Rosen Raj from Merrill Lynch. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for the call. I've got three questions. First, on the deal valuation, could you just walk us through the numbers and just help us how you draw comfort on the amount at which the deal will be closed, and what are the valuation metrics or benchmarks that you looked at for this particular deal? Second is, are you still open to further M&A in this market? And third, slightly on the operations side, what are your expectations for ARPU trend for this market for the next 2 to 3 years? Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Roshan. So just tackle these questions, hopefully in the order you gave them. You know, I think this deal is priced at a sensible level. You know, we believe that when you take account of all the synergies and the combination of the deal, the price is looking like in the region of about 10x EBITDA, EV EBITDA. You know, I think in terms of concluding the deal, we're aiming for a pretty quick completion process. You know, we've sort of earmarked 3 months, but we hope to be able to beat that. And that's from last night. Obviously, we signed the deal last night. In terms of further M&A in the market, you know, I think that we're very happy with this deal. So for the time being, you know, we would aim to consolidate on this deal in the way that we've described, see the synergies coming through, and then take it from there. And I'll hand over to Dato for the last question, which was on the trends for Cambodia over the next few years, or Simon.
Yeah, Simon can add to this, Simon, but basically when we look at the trend, it is in a way dependent on the number of players. As it is right now, it's already low double-digit growth. But I guess if the market were to consolidate to three players, then of course the numbers would be even more positive.
Yeah, if I can add, if I can add to that, Dato, Simon here. Look, the ARPU has been largely driven by very competitive action that we have taken together with Smart in the market. So, you know, arguably, we also control that situation to a certain extent. So we do, as Dato said, expect the ARPUs to improve from here on in with the consolidation.
Right, thanks for that. Just going back to the previous question, so what you're suggesting is 10 times EBITDA is a comfortable level, and any particular benchmarks you would have looked at, or just looking at the synergies and the growth outlook, you feel this is a comfortable level for the deal to have been done?
Yeah, you know, I think what we should stress about the price and the relationship with EBITDA is that this is a business that has shown strong accretion of EBITDA over the last few quarters. So the trajectory is strongly heading in the right direction. It's still it is dilutive to Asiata as a whole from a margin percentage perspective. So we are acquiring a business, emerging a business that will be marginally eroding for us, because this has been a very tough market, pre-consolidation. So we will obviously see, margin being driven upwards over the next few quarters. And so, overall, we think that the price is fair against that background.
Yeah, to add to that, we don't look at it as a standalone multiple, because this is in a merger rather than acquisition of a new country. So you have to take out the synergies that we will benefit from this deal. So if you look at that, then the multiple will be even much more attractive.
I think we'll probably give a little bit more detail on this post completion.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Arthur Baker from Citigroup. Arthur, question?
Hi, thanks for the call. Three questions for me. Firstly, what do you think the rationale is for the shareholders to actually be selling the investment, given that they do seem to have scale? If you could run me through your thoughts on that. Also, if you can talk to me and tell me about how you get the valuation multiples. I'm just trying to figure out, because when I look at Pascal's EBITDA, it seems like it's in the first half it only generates something like $5 million. Last question I had is with regard to the cost savings, because you guided that it will actually be EPS accretive from 2013 onwards. Is there room for that to even improve in 2014 once you start to presumably restructure the two companies?
Thank you very much. Would you like to tackle the first question, which is why they're selling?
I guess that's not something that is fair for us to comment on their behalf. So we kind of know, but I think it's something that they have to reveal themselves. But from our perspective, we are there long term. We are a long term player, and it fits our purpose.
Yeah, so, as I previously said, we'll give a bit more detail. We'll help you with the valuation, multiple calculation post-completion. Suffice it to say that, we've made a conservative estimate of 2013 EBITDA numbers. We believe that during the course of 2013, quarter by quarter, EBITDA will grow, and that trajectory will continue as synergies are sought and executed on towards the end of 2013, but it is based on a fairly robust 2013 number. And your last question, which was on EPS, absolutely, we would expect this to be EPS accretive well into 2014.
Just a further commentary on the trajectory. Of course, this is purely our own trajectory, and it is conservative at the same time. Remember, there are 8-9 players today, maybe 8 already by now. Our trajectory have also taken into account that many of the players are not quite into the market anymore. Some have actually been extremely quiet to the point where there's not much of marketing or any activity. So we look at our revenue trajectory and we look at profitability. For this is just for Smart, and we believe that given the current condition, the performance for 2013 will be even much better than 2012. Sorry, you were saying? You were asking?
I just wanted to check, what regulatory clearances do you need to attain before this deal is closed?
Shall I answer that? Maybe I'll answer that one, Gutter, if I may, Simon here. The regulatory clearances from the Ministry of Posts and Telecoms here have to be granted. So we're familiar with that process, and we shall have that underway immediately.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Tian Do from GIC Singapore. Please ask your question.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the opportunity to ask some questions, and congratulations on this acquisition. I've got three questions. First question is just on the operations going forward. Could you give some details on where you think the cultural differences are, the branding differences are between the two companies, and how you would look to combine two cultures, two sets of brands? Second question is just on the balance sheet of the acquired company. What does that look like? What's the split between net assets and goodwill for you? And third question was anybody else in the running to acquire this asset, or just Axiata?
Maybe Simon can answer the first question.
Yep.
Simon?
Sure. Your questions around brand and culture. Both of us have, Smart and Hello, have been very aggressive in the market and leading the charge on tariffs and promotions and acquisition programs. So from that perspective, our cultures are very, very aligned. We're ambitious to be a leader in this market, and we're ambitious on capturing the growth opportunity that clearly still exists here. So in that respect, you know, our cultures are very, very much aligned. You know, both fairly small in terms of number of people, so there's not a huge sort of issue around that. Now, in terms of brand, we're still to make a final decision on that, so we'll hope to announce that later. So no final conclusion on that just yet.
Okay.
Before I pass to James for the questions, I forgot to mention during the course of the presentation. This is not in the slides, but a very pertinent point. In the last 2 years ago, we have decided both at the Axiata and also at Hello level together with Simon that we are going to take a very different approach to the market, given the 9 players, extremely crowded and very extremely tough market. So we actually, some of you might already know, actually pulled back our investment very significantly. In fact, we hardly invested the last 2, even 3 years on a basis, with maybe not so much to exit per se, although we weren't ruling out for sure, but more of to be an acquirer or to be acquired. So hence you see what happened. Of course, our revenue fortunately still grow very, very well, which is very fortunate, but of course we were in a stage that it's not sustainable because we hardly invested in the market, whereas Smart went the extreme opposite, where they went very aggressive, invested a couple of times a lot more than up in practically the other competitors to build a network. So the beauty of this is that when we merge, we actually have less duplication compared to if we had been aggressive ourselves. So that's both at the network level, but also at the service points, branding, marketing, so on and so forth. So I thought we should give you the background a bit. Okay.
Yeah, on the balance sheet, we're not at liberty to disclose any detail at the moment. That will come out post completion. So I think that we'll provide detail at the right time, if you don't mind, Kendall.
Okay.
And then,
in
terms of competition to acquire Smart, I think there were a few other. The usual sorts of candidates you'd expect sniffing around. I think that we were obviously in a more advantageous position with an existing position in country, and we don't believe that there was much competition coming from other in-country, operators. Perhaps one, but always difficult to tell exactly.
Alright, and final question, that you said there would be regulatory approval required from the Ministry of Posts and Telecoms. In sounding them out, did they have any objections or anything that you guys have to, allay their fears over, or do you think that's going to be an easy process?
Yeah, perhaps if I can answer that one, I'm Simon again. Yeah, so I mean, already sort of, you know, informal discussions have taken place, and indeed the minister himself, I think, has gone on record as saying that there's too many operators in this market and it needs consolidation to reach a sustainable level. He's gone on record saying that, but the minister himself. We can take some comfort from the fact that Smart have done this once before with their acquisition of Starcell and are very familiar with the process and understand it, so that's a good example for us to follow. And we indeed ourselves have good relationships with the appropriate government agencies here to help us gain all the appropriate approvals in a timely manner.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Marvin Killer from Morgan Stanley. Please ask the question.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I had two questions, actually. One, I just wanted to understand, I mean, you talked about the fact that you are implying a pretty meaningful improvement in margins over the next several quarters. I was just trying to understand, how should we look at the steady-state margins in this market, I guess particularly in the context of any significant regulatory costs on a recurring basis, etc., like, for example, what you have in Bangladesh. Just for us to be able to kind of model long-term margins. The second question I had was, you mentioned that the license structure for Hello as an entity is a bit different. It's a BTO kind of structure. So what happens to the combined license spectrum? Are there any risks of some of those critical assets not staying in the combined entity? Thank you.
Thank you, Navin. I think I'll just make a quick comment on regulatory and perhaps pass over to Simon after that. In terms of comparing this market with somewhere like Bangladesh, we would hope that this market will not head in that direction. But Bangladesh is a fairly exceptional example, of the more egregious end of regulatory costs and license environment. There's been no or little sign of that gravitating in that sort of direction. The only thing, obviously, over the last few years that has been evident is the issuance of a multitude of licenses, GSM and less so 3G. But quite gratifying that we are actually acquiring 25 years, which compares very favorably, obviously, with the renewal that we got in Bangladesh recently for 2G of 15 years. Simon, is there anything else that you would like to add to that one?
Sure. Yeah, thank you, James. I think just to go to the point about margins, why do we expect the margins to improve? And here the synergy benefits are quite significant through this merger, which allows us to remove duplication, remove cost from the merged operation, which will have an impact on margins. And indeed my earlier point about two aggressive operators who have largely driven the ARPU situation are somewhat in control of what we do going forward in a competitive environment. So both of those things are very positive for margins. You asked about the license conditions. Yes, our license conditions are different to Smart. Ours is an older license, an older version of licenses which are not being issued anymore. And subject to appropriate approvals, we will operate under the most favourable license conditions that we're able to. So that's another advantage through this merger.
Perhaps I like to be a bit more forthcoming to the question. Today, the margins of Hello is in a high teens, low teens plus minus, and in the case of Smart, in a pretty good 20 plus percent. However, it is our intention that over the next 3 years we should bring them up to low 30s, so that make it a very healthy company. That's our target.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Nirajan Natarajan from Nomura. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks very much for the opportunity. My question was more around the current competitive landscape. You said that some of the players have pulled back, but looks like the implied pricing from, say, 2011 to first half 12 has still fallen quite strongly. Any thoughts around that? And how do you expect the other players to respond to the fact of consolidation? Because in some of the other markets, we see that consolidation actually leads to more competition in the near term, and market repair tends to take longer than expected. So what are your assumptions or any expectations around that? That would be my question. Thank you.
Simon?
Yeah, sure. Look, the recent trends on pricing, quite honestly, have been driven by ourselves and Smart. And some of the other players, I think as Dato said earlier, have decided to stand on the sidelines. The bigger players can afford to do that. The smaller players, you can see the impact in terms of their subscriber numbers shown over the last 2 years on that slide. I think there was an earlier question about are there any other consolidation opportunities? Indeed, there are, and we expect them to come up. Some of the players have gone public on their intention to exit the market. I think, you know, you can do your own research on that, but you will see that there's public domain information about some of the players' intentions for this market. So I think we're very confident that Datto's prediction of this coming down to 3 to 5 and being sustainable is very accurate.
Okay, thanks. And what is the market share you would be comfortable with over the longer term in this market, please?
Well, I'd be comfortable with being number one in this market, which I think if we look at the number one now, that equates to 30 plus.
Okay, I mean,
yeah.
Sufficient scale given that, you know, it is a small country, or do you see like a 50% market share as plus as like an ideal number to get to? That's more where I was coming from, really.
I think, sorry, James, come in there.
Yeah, I was just going to say very quickly, Niraja, you know, I think we don't have reliable revenue market share numbers in market, so it's a bit more difficult to gauge. But as Simon said earlier, from a subs perspective, post taking out the double SIM effect, we would expect to have 25% post merger. With the structural changes taking place in the market, you know, we believe we can have a bit of price power return, and we should be able to carry on the trajectory of Smart and Hello combined very effectively.
Do you want to say anything, Jeff, as well?
Yeah, no, I think you can allude to the, if we can achieve 50%, of course, that will not be possible, then be realistic. So net, from a long or medium-term perspective, we hope to achieve more than 30% of market share.
Yeah.
All right, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Claire Chin from CLSA. Please ask your question.
Hi, afternoon everyone. Two questions from me, please. Firstly, a little bit more color on the shareholder time turns, you know, based in Cyprus. I see from the website that there are various investments across the globe. Just wondering why they are selling out in Cambodia here. Secondly, it seems like you're quite happy to pay a premium valuation, or you think it's sensible valuation of 10 times EV EBITDA, given synergies are high. Should we take that as a some sort of thinking for management in terms of M&A opportunities going forward for Axiata. Thank you.
Because this is a very important point. If you look at it on a standalone basis, one can argue it's on the higher side, and that to be very sure, that normally won't reflect what we will do in many other markets on a standalone on basis or on a new country. So this, in this case, very different. This is a synergistic proposition whereby you gain a lot of synergy by merging our current company, which is not doing as well as we should be given the current market. So the therefore it's not reflective of what our normal measurement of multiple should be. I want to stress that. Yeah.
As we described briefly earlier, I think there's a really important point here, and that is that in our discussions with analysts and many shareholders, I think there's a broad consensus that in-market consolidation deals are highly value accretive. In a situation like this, where there is a challenger in the market that has done very well, gained very significant traction, growing its EBITDA as well, got good brand positioning and so on, very good management, lean, mean balance sheet, I think that what we're seeing based on current EBITDA run rate, there is certainly worth a premium to be paid on that in EBITDA multiple terms. But you quickly pay off that premium because of the trajectory, because of the synergies that you can drive very hard, very effectively. So we believe it's a fair price for all those reasons and the reasons that Dato gave earlier.
Last point, when we look at the justification for this, we also look at what if we don't do anything about it, what will happen to Hello in the medium term. So that's also part of the consideration translated into our financial business case.
The opportunity cost, if you will. And I think that you your first question was actually a question of the rationale for the shareholder time turns selling out. Obviously, as we previously said, we can't really comment on their motives. They do have a number of telco assets scattered across a number of continents. So what their overall strategy is, we don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Priyam Jarajasingam from Macquarie. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for the call. Just two simple questions from me. One, who would the 10% partner be? Would that be the selling shareholder, or is there someone else who will be the 10% holder in the combined entity, one? And number two, could you give us some color with regards to how CapEx trends in Cambodia could go post-consolidation? I mean, you did allude to the fact that you cut back on CapEx last year or so, but how do you see that going forward, let's say, in a market where there's, as you say, 3 to 5 players? What do you think the level of investment in Cambodia will be going forward? Thank you.
Okay, on the first question, basically it will be the current set of shareholders or a subset of which. The former company which we sell as 10% to as part of the deal. So, in short, current or the subset of the current shareholders.
Residual shareholders. But, Prem, is there any chance you could repeat your second question? I don't think we picked it up.
All right. It's actually just to get an idea of what CapEx is going to look like going forward.
Okay, sure. First thing I'd say is that to the group as a whole, it's not material. The CapEx, obviously significant synergies between the two markets, rationalization, that offsets, to a greater degree. But having said that, there will be a certain amount of CapEx deployed in things like billing, so there needs to be some activity around merged billing platform, BI, IM, so on the IT, and I think continuing the good work that Smart has done, particularly in the 3G network. Simon, would you like to comment further than that on CapEx?
Yes, I mean, one of the advantages of the merger is the CapEx synergies that flow out from it. We're investing in one network, not in two, and not duplicating investments. Yeah, certainly there is some CapEx involved in the merger process, and then some further CapEx focused on new coverage areas and an additional 3G.
Maybe I can ask you this slightly differently. What is your population coverage at the moment of the combined networks, and where do you think it needs to be over the next 2 or 3 years? And essentially, is this going to be a $50-100 million capex per annum business, or is this going to be a $20-50 million capex business per annum?
We'll just get a number for you in 2013. We'll give you a rough number for CapEx. We'll just hang on.
Right. Yeah, in our business plan, we are looking at between 30 to 40 million for the next 3 years, but of course it will go down right after that.
Sure. Okay,
Matt,
thank you very much.
That's the bills, yeah. No, sorry, that's the emergency. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Calvin Gook from CIMB. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just a few questions. First one's on the cost savings. Could you give us some sort of idea how much you expect operational cost savings would be from the merger? Second question is on the, just to want to confirm that you're buying the company has with an equity value of 155 million, and you mentioned that there's an EV of 180. So can we assume that debt is about 25 mil? Third question is on you mentioned the structure of the license, where Hello is actually a BTO and Smart is a license. Under licensing arrangements. Just wondering what the regulatory cost is for BTO. Is it similar to what it is in Thailand, where there's a difference between the two regulatory costs between a BTO and a license? And how would you approach that going forward? Will you be looking to sort of transfer subscribers into a licensing arrangement where that to perhaps optimize your profits?
We can go straight to the second question first, Simon.
Yes, the in terms of the annual operating costs for the different licenses, they're exactly the same. There's no difference there. Of course, with the BOT, it's the end of license requirement to hand over the network to the government that is the significant difference. So obviously the newer form of licenses are better from that perspective, but on an annual operating basis, they're exactly the same here.
So when you merge the two, would you sort of give up the BTO, or would you be spending more under the licensing company, with the company that holds the license, so that you don't have to hand over the assets down the road?
Yeah, sure. Subject to regulatory approval, we intend to operate under the most favorable license.
Kelvin, on your first question, which was OPEX synergies, I'm sure you understand that post-signing, pre-completion, still in a sensitive stage. We want to make sure that we get this over the line. No reason to believe we won't, it's too sensitive at this stage to be divulging OPEX or other synergy numbers. And your other question, which was on EV, your assumption is correct.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Huang. Huang from CIFB. Please ask the question.
Hi, thanks very much for the call. I've dropped from the line a couple of times, so if you don't mind, could you maybe give me an idea on the regulatory timeline for the approvals? That's my first question. Second question is, would the spectrum you know, be tied to the license? And if you have to give up a license, would you similarly have to give up spectrum? The third question is, after this M&A, would it reduce Axiata's appetite for regional M&A, would you be done after this, or are there more that you're intending to do? On my fourth question, if you don't mind, could you run me again the population coverage for the combined entities?
Simon, let me try to answer the first few questions, then you can answer the last one. In short, we are looking at completion by end of first quarter. That's later. We believe that we can do earlier than that, but of course we have to go through a couple of processes. Secondly, on the licenses, of course, the way subject to further the actual regulatory approvals, we intend to keep all the spectrum that that both companies have today. On the regional appetite, of course, we believe that in-country consolidation is still applicable to some of the countries, and that has not changed.
So you will be open to further M&As in the region?
In general, for other countries, yes. For Cambodia, as mentioned by Simon, at this point in time, we need to digest this one first. And, of course, we'll be on lookout for the rest. But to be frank, we are less inclined to do any more consolidation within Cambodia.
Yeah, if I could just comment very quickly. Yeah, I think that we've mentioned this a number of times in our various meetings and calls, that we do have an appetite, clearly, for highly synergistic in-market consolidation deals. And we have a less of an appetite for new markets or adjacencies. But I don't think our strategy has changed or our appetite has changed in that regard.
Okay.
And then your Simon,
on the population coverage, yeah.
Yeah, population coverage. We're both at about 80% population coverage right now. So obviously, when we can remove duplicated coverage and redeploy that to new areas, we're going to increase that significantly.
Okay, all right. If I could just follow up just a little bit on the previous questions with regards to synergies and cost rationalization. Would the synergies be greater on the cost side or on the revenue side? What are the opportunities that are available? Do you see more opportunity from the revenue side or from the cost side?
I guess initially it will be more on the cost side, as presented earlier, on the network marketing, acquisition costs, people costs, and service points. Those are the cost side. The revenue side is the indirect. It's dependent on to what extent we can rebalance price. I see this right now is pretty low. The trajectory has been going downwards. But both of us have been the quote-unquote naughty boys. We hope to be able to quote-unquote rebalance the tariff to everyone's favor in the industry. So if that happens, then of course, in the long run, that will be the single biggest synergy.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of caller Zakuba from Credit Suisse. Ask your question.
Thanks. Actually, you just answered my question, so that's absolutely fine. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Fob Wai Luk from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks. Just wanted to confirm that your EBITDA growth assumptions for 2013, are they basically just purely due to merger synergies, and you're not really baking in significant, I don't know, stabilization of the industry? And secondly, could you just remind me what you said about your long-term revenue market share target? I thought I heard 50%. And lastly, do you think this merger between you guys and Smart would then prompt some aggressive behavior from that firm? Thank you.
Okay, on the question on the EBITDA trajectory next year, we're just looking at what is, given the environment today, the trajectory for the performance of Smart. So that's conservative in the sense that we believe within the next 1 year, two things will still happen in the industry because, as mentioned by Simon, some of the players are very much in the sideline already. So if that's the case, there will be even could be better than what we just said. On the question on the market share, on the subscriber market share, as you know, post consolidation, we will have to the tune of 25% or more subscriber acquisition. But our target will be more than 30% in the medium term.
So that's 30%, not 50.
Right, and that's subscriber market share. Do you have a revenue market share target by any chance?
Yeah, correspondingly, the revenue market share should be in the 30s also.
Right.
Yeah, we're obviously we're focused on revenue market share, not in subs market share.
Yeah.
I think there was a question there, if I may, Simon here, on expected response from Metphone. Metphone
yes.
is the Vietnamese operator here in Cambodia, operated by the Vietnamese military. Metphone have a substantial subscriber market share already. They chose not to respond to the aggressive tariff promotions that have been in the market for the last 12 months, certainly. I guess for them the decision is, it would be damaging for their existing customer base if they had to match the tariff. So, what we've seen is them just trying to protect their market share, both at subscriber and revenue level. So, no, we don't anticipate any particular response from Metphone to this merger per se.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question comes from the line of Arthur Pineda from Citigroup. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks. Just had one follow-up question. Can you talk about the local pricing environment and the traffic environment within Cambodia? What percent of calls are done on-net and off-net? What's the price differential between on-net and off-net calls as well? Just wanting to get a better appreciation on the impact of the care. Thank you.
Sure. Simon?
Yeah, I'll answer that. Off-net pricing is governed by interconnect rates. Interconnect rates here are regulated, so the off-net pricing is generally higher than on-net. So the difference can be quite significant. And that's also the significant advantage of this merger, because we're offering a wider customer base the on-net tariffs. So that's another advantage here.
About traffic?
Percentage. Traffic percentage, the majority of traffic is on-net.
No percentage available, is there?
Round about 70-30, 70 on-net, 30 off-net.
Okay, thank you very much.
In volume terms.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. There is no further question at this time. I will hand the conference back to the presenter. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for participating in our conference call. You can obviously ask more questions through email, directly to me, James, or Sivanka, our IR head. And obviously, or rather, definitely, we will, post completion, we will make another conference call. By then, we'll probably have even more numbers or information to be shared. With that, thank you very much and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude our conference call today. Thank you for your participation. You may all disconnect.